Well, it's hard to believe, isn't it? Our fall holiday season is among us already. And there will be, over the next few days, the next couple weeks, there will be a lot of scriptures that we're going to read, we're going to hear about the return of Jesus Christ, about how wonderful this world will become as it's governed by the kingdom of God. One of those scriptures that I want to look at today we'll find in Micah chapter 4 and verse 2. Micah chapter 4 and verse 2. I think a lot of us are familiar with this. Many nations shall come and say, "Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." It's interesting, as we look at this, we see the attitude in this time to come, that the people will come to God, and they will actually desire to have God teach them his ways. And it's a marvelous picture. It's such a contrast to today's society, where our society is trying to get as far away from God's words, God's ways, as it can. We really look forward to that. But before we reach that time, we have to ask ourselves, what about today? What are we doing? Do we desire to learn God's ways more deeply? Do we have an attitude that desires to learn more from God? Do we come to God and say, "Teach me, O Lord, teach me your ways"? The Psalms are filled with the expression of "Teach me." And as we looked through them, as we look at those expressions, they can help us understand what it is that we should be learning from God here, now, today, before that time that Jesus Christ returns. So what I want to do today here is look through the Psalms. What do we find where we should ask God to teach me? Well, to start off, it sounds very basic, but we have to ask God to teach us his commandments and his statutes. And as you think about it, you think about humanity in general and even our own personal lives, on our own, in our own mindset, would we keep God's commandments on our own? I think we have to honestly answer that, is that without God's help, without God's instruction, we would not do that unless there was some circumstance where keeping some aspect of God's commandments would further serve our own self-interests. Take it even a step further. Without God teaching us his commandments, would we even know what they are? Certainly not in this world where Satan is blinding humanity to God's ways. How would we ever know what his commandments are, what God's commandments and what his ways are? That is why we have to start out by asking God to teach me your commandments. Let's take a look at Psalm 119. And verse 73. Psalm 119 is filled to the brim and overflowing with instructions about God's commandments, his statutes, and the various facets of that. Here in Psalm 119 and verse 73, he writes, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." God is our Creator. He has fashioned us. He has made us. And God alone fully understands what life is. Now you think about it. Human beings have studied, experimented, examined life to, you know, various degrees, various depths. And yet, for all that study, for all that we have learned about that, we are still far, far from understanding life as God understands it. In the physical realm, where we've learned the most over the centuries and so forth, in the physical realm, our understanding is still very limited, isn't it? There's still a lot we don't know about how life works. But let's take this a step further. That's just the physical realm. What about the spiritual realm? What do we know about it? What do we understand about that? How well do we comprehend how to build positive, long-lasting relationships? I think if you just look around the society, you can get your answer pretty quickly. That humanity does not know how to properly develop relationships. That is why we have to understand God's commandments. You know, we've often heard over the years philosophers asking the question, well, what is the meaning of life? Well, guess what? God knows. God knows what the meaning of life is. God is life. God is the source of all life. So we have to learn from Him. And as we learn from Him, we come to the realization that we have to learn to keep His commandments. We have to know His commandments. Because that is the only way we can learn how to live life properly. To understand life, to live life properly, you have to go to the source. Go to the one who knows life. And go to the one who knows how human beings should live their life. There is no other successful way to conduct our lives than to do so by God's commandments. Let's take a look at Psalm 138. Psalm 138, I'm going to be reading verses 6 through 8. Starting here in verse 6. Though the Lord is on high, yet He regards the lowly, but the proud He knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You will revive me. You will stretch out Your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of Your hands. It's interesting here that the psalmist recognizes the need, the absolute necessity, that God will perfect us. We have to realize that we are not perfect. We are not complete. We are very incomplete without the understanding and discernment that we gain as we begin to learn God's commandments. There's no way our lives can be complete if we don't understand that. But God is there. He is ready. He is willing to help us. So if we humbly approach Him, we who are the lowly, God doesn't just disdain us. He is there for us to protect us. He's our salvation. And as we humbly approach God, we ask Him, please, please teach me Your commandments. Help me know them. And we have the promise and the hope that He will work with us to perfect us. Yeah, it's a long journey. And sometimes that goal seems really far away. But God will help us to become holy when we come to Him and ask Him to teach us His commandments. And that journey to become holy begins with knowing, understanding, and obeying His commandments. Peter alludes to this in his first epistle. Let's go back and take a look at that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 13 through 16. So what does Peter write here in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 13? Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That is what God has set out for us. Because He is holy, we are to become holy as He is holy. Now, it's interesting the picture that Peter brings out here. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. What this does is this harkens back to the first Passover. The Israelites were told to gird up their loins, have their cloak ready, be ready to go. They had to be ready to go. They had to be prepared and ready to leave their lives as slaves in Egypt. And they had to be ready to follow where God would lead them. So what does that tell us here? What's Peter telling us? Gird up the loins of our mind. Well, basically, we need to get our minds ready. They need to be prepared. We are currently taking a journey away from our sinful nature, from those thoughts that are based in this society. God says, gird up your loins as you learn my commandments. Be prepared. Be ready to follow me where I choose to lead you. It starts with understanding His commandments. And we do this, as Peter said here, we do this as obedient children. That means we're keeping God's commandments. We're doing what He says. We're ready to follow. When He says to do this, we're there. We're girded up our minds. We're ready to go. And since God is holy, and since He's calling us now to be part of His family, to be part of that family, we too have to be holy. And so we ask God, we humbly come to Him and ask Him, teach me your commandments and statutes. But there's more. There's more to what we need to learn. Let's go back to Psalm 119. In Psalm 119 and verse 66, we have another statement, another teach me. Psalm 119, verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Or as the King James has expressed it, for I have believed your commandments. Yeah, we have believed them, haven't we? If we didn't, we'd just walk away. But we have believed God's commandments. We understand, we know that they are righteous. And that they give us the guideposts, the way in which we are to live our lives. Commandments are righteous. And we do know them. But let's ask ourselves the question, how well do I know God's commandments? Because as we learn more about His commandments, we learn that whether you're just starting to commit your lives to live by His commandments, or you've been trying to do it for 50 years or more now, there is always more to learn. There is a depth to God's commandments that perhaps we can't even fathom right now because of God being who He is. So we come to God with this attitude that, yeah, there's a whole lot more I need to learn. And I know there's more in here, God. I just don't know what it is. So I'm coming to You and saying, please, teach me Your knowledge. Help me understand Your commandments better, to know them more deeply. Because we also know, and we're also promised, that an increased knowledge of God's ways can lead to a greater growth in the godliness within us. Let's go back to Peter again. I know we're flipping back and forth, but this time it's to the second epistle. 2 Peter, in chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Here in 2 Peter, Peter writes, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue." See, as God teaches us more of His knowledge, as we go to Him and ask Him to teach us this, what do we see happening in our lives? We see that God's grace, and maybe even more importantly, or at least on equal footing, God's peace, especially in this tumultuous time, can be multiplied within us. As we look around us, as we see the turmoil that is just building more and more, we recognize we need the peace that only God can give us. That peace starts to come to us as we know more of God, as we know more of His ways. And that's why we ask Him to teach me that knowledge. But we also begin to have a better understanding, as Peter says here, of those things that pertain to life and godliness. And it isn't just the life that we have here now, the physical life, but it is a true life, eternal life with God. As we ask God for more knowledge, He opens up our minds. He helps us to understand that better, to give us a greater vision of what He has set before us. And this comes with the knowledge that God gives us. But we also have to realize that knowledge of God's commands is a lot more than just memorizing the words. We don't just memorize His Ten Commandments, say, okay, I know what they are, and that's it. We have to go deeper. We ask God for an increased knowledge and increased understanding, and it starts to give us a better understanding of what is important. And suddenly, you realize that there are a lot of things that are going on, even if they're things that are bothering you, that are giving you a trial, that in the long view, they really don't mean anything, do they? As we start to consider and understand the knowledge of eternity that God has given us, and of the inheritance that He has promised to us, we get an understanding of what really is important for our lives. And we gain a better understanding of what is excellent in our lives. A lot of the trends and fads that we see in our society, if we look at it honestly, we have to say, you know, that's really not all that great, especially if I compare it to what God has in store for us later. Knowledge of God is what tells us, what teaches us what is truly excellent. Paul alludes to some of this in his letter to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 10. Paul writes here in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." As we gain knowledge of God's ways, if we are truly applying that knowledge in our lives, our love will abound more and more. Our love for God, our love for the rest of humanity, because they are God's children and future members of His family. Our love for His creation, for everything good that God has done. As we gain in knowledge of God, our love for God abounds still more and more in all knowledge and in all discernment. The two are combined here. The two are hooked together. And this goes back to Psalm 119, verse 66. "Teach me good judgment and knowledge." Peter's talking about discernment here. Judgment. How do you evaluate things? How do you look at things and tell what they are? The Hebrew word back here in Psalm 119, verse 66, which we translate as judgment, gives the connotation of tasting something. Now, have you ever been in a situation where your head is so clogged up, you can barely breathe, you talk funny because the sound is all messed up because of the blockage there? Think back. Think back when you've been in those situations, and let me ask you this question. How did your food taste? Pretty bland, wasn't it? Because smell is such an integral and huge part of how we actually taste things. But when that sense of smell is blocked, when it's impeded, we lose the ability to discern the finer things of the food that we're tasting, don't we? Now you contrast that when your sinuses are clear and you're healthy and everything and you can taste this food. You can detect even minute differences in the way things taste. And you certainly know whether something tastes good to you or something tastes bad to you. You see, knowledge has to be tied with judgment. As we gain in knowledge that God teaches us, the judgment that He teaches us, right along with that, gives us the perception, gives us the ability to start looking at things not from our own perspective, not from the perspective of the society around us, but from God's perspective. Because that is what we're trying to learn here, is to learn to think like God, to view things as He views them. So we ask Him to teach us His judgment. And that judgment is based in the context of the knowledge that He's given us and what we've learned. And that judgment gives us the ability to distinguish between good and evil. And we have to know how to do that. We have to know what's good. And we have to know what is evil. Because nothing that is evil will be in the kingdom of God. We need to be able to discern that, especially in our own lives, so if we find something that's evil, we work with God to remove it. And if we don't have the discernment, how are we ever going to recognize that? If we don't have the judgment based on the knowledge that God is teaching us, how are we going to do that? The only way we can do that, the only hope we have of doing that, is to go to God and ask Him, please, teach me your knowledge and your judgment. So we see here, while it seems very basic, one of the main things we have to go to God and ask Him to teach us is to teach me to understand your commandments, Lord, and teach me greater knowledge of them, and teach me your judgment based on the understanding that you have taught me. But there is more. Knowing God's commandments is a good start. Being able to discern good from evil is very important. But what's missing? Psalm 119, yeah, we're back there again. Psalm 119 and verse 68, a very short verse, but it holds so much. Psalm 119, verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. God and God only is good. And that is what God does. He does good. He cannot do anything except that. So as we see that, as we learn that and come to understand that, isn't that what we want to become? We want to become like God. How do we do that? Teach me your statutes. God needs to teach us His statutes so that we can start to apply them in our own lives. Goes beyond knowledge, goes beyond judgment. While we're here in Psalms, let's look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25 and verses 4 and 5. Again, another place where we're shown that we need to come to God and ask Him to teach us. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. And on you I wait all day. See, as we've gone to God and as we've gained knowledge about His commandments and we understand the promises that He has made for all of humanity, as we learn the judgment and stuff, we see the goal, don't we? Especially this time of year, as we begin to observe His fall holy days and what they picture, we see that goal. We see that promise, and we rejoice in it, and we look forward to it. How do we get there? Do we strike out on our own and say, okay, I see the goal. I see where I am right now and I see where I need to be. I'm going to get there by myself. I know the way. No, we don't. We have to ask God to show us His path, to teach that to us. Because there is only one certain path whereby we can reach that goal. And that's the path where God is leading us. Now think about an analogy. A lot of people over the years have set for themselves the goal of scaling Mount Everest. I mean, supposedly the tallest mountain, at least on the top side of the earth. If you look at some of the ones in the ocean, they're a lot taller. But Mount Everest, it's there. People want to reach the top. They know what their goal is, don't they? I'm going to climb this mountain, I'm going to make it to the top. But even from the base camp, as they're preparing, as they're getting ready to make that climb, because of the way the mountain is structured, I guess, for lack of a better word, they can see the very tip at the top. They can see where it is they need to go. They cannot. For the mountain being right there, they cannot see the path that they need to take. There is one. They know there's one. And then they know there's a path that people have successfully taken before. But they can't see it. Now you think about their situation. There they are. They're getting ready to climb. They have the knowledge of how to climb that mountain, don't they? If they don't, they better not be there. And they have the judgment that as they're climbing, they can look at a little crag here or a foothold there, and they know whether that's a good place to put their foot or not. They know how to exercise judgment. So they have knowledge. They have judgment. But how do they know the right path to take? How do they figure that out? They figure it out because they need someone to show them the right way. They need a personal guide who knows how to navigate this treacherous course. And so they hire the Sherpas. And these guides help direct the climbers to the right path. Another interesting point here is that even with the guide, even with knowing the path, and the knowledge of mountain climbing, and having the judgment that they do, it still takes strength, perseverance, and time to reach the top of that mountain. It's not something that they're going to do in just a day or two. Now, think about that in our lives. We know that goal. We know what God has set before us. We have knowledge that He has taught us. We have judgment that He has taught us. But we need to come to Him and say, God, I need you as a personal guide for my life to be properly directed to reach that goal. We need God to lead us in His truth. We need Him to show us His way, to show us His path. Because as we ask God for that teaching, as we learn what that path is, and this is another interesting thing too, each one of us has a different path, but it's still God's path because He is leading us. It's not someone else leading us, it's God showing us that for you, the right path to the goal I've set before you is this. And so we ask God, teach me that. Lead me. Show me the right way. And as He does that, as we learn the pathway that He has set before us, we get a greater understanding of how to live by His principles. How to walk by His ways. Where to put our foot. And yes, it's a struggle. It takes time. It takes perseverance. But if we allow God to teach us, we will indeed reach that goal that He set before us. Psalm 86. We understand the nature of this path. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. When we learn the path that God is teaching us, when we follow His lead, we are walking in truth. It's God's truth. Every other route that we might take is false. It will not lead us to the goal that God has set before us. And it's interesting here, it says, "Unite my heart to fear your name." This is the same base word where we see the word one. Effectively, in these words, we're also asking God, help me to wholeheartedly follow your way. Don't let me get distracted over here by this. Don't let me look over that way and think, well, maybe this way. No. With our whole heart, we need to follow God. He's teaching us His ways. He's teaching us His paths. We need to be focused on that, knowing there is no other way of truth. That is the only way of truth. That is the way in which we need to walk. So as we were talking about how we need to walk, let's take a look at Psalm 143. Psalm 143 and verse 10. Because so far we've talked about knowing, talked about judging, we've talked about being told which route to go. But there's one more thing that we need to do. And Psalm 143 verse 10 hits on this. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of righteousness. We have to ask God to teach me to do your will. God's commandments aren't just an academic exercise in knowledge and judgment. As we learn, as we gain in an understanding, we have to apply that. We have to do it. We have to do something in accordance with what God is teaching us. We can't just sit back and think, okay, well, hey, look what I know. Look what God has taught me. We have to apply it. Faith requires more than knowledge and judgment. It requires action. We must learn how to personally apply day to day in all the situations that we face. We have to learn how to personally apply what God is teaching us. What it means when we ask God to teach me to do your will, we're asking God to teach us to do those things, to take those actions that give God delight and that cause Him pleasure, because He's gone to the effort to teach us, to call us out, to bring us up as His children. And any of you who are parents know that when you've taught your children something and they do it right, you love it. It's a delight for you when someone comes up to you later and says, guess what? I caught your children doing something right. And it is a delight. We need to learn to do those things that please our Father in heaven, that give Him delight, give Him pleasure, to let Him know that we are listening. We are learning. We are growing. Teach me to do your will. Teach me, Lord. Teach me your statutes, your will, your judgment, your ways. God has called us, and we have begun to learn the richness of His ways. But there are depths to it which we still need to learn. Jesus Christ will return. And he will restore God's kingdom here. And he will teach the nations his ways. We really look forward to that time, don't we? But prior to that, what are we doing? Now's not the time to just sit back and relax. God has called us for a purpose. We cannot have the attitude that assumes we know enough. Because we don't. We must desire to diligently dig into learning more, because there is so much more that we can learn from God. So we continue to come to God and ask, "Teach me, Lord, that I may know you better and eventually become perfect as you are."